feet on your book, and so Lord, we ask for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So thanks, Chris, for running the sound. If you need, does anyone need a Bible? Judge. Anybody else need a Bible? Chris, you good? Okay, I'm gonna help you to open the Bibles. You got a New Testament and an Old Testament. That probably came as no surprise to some of you. So if you open the Bible up, you got the New Testament on this side. What's the first book in the New Testament?
Matthew.
What's the last book in the Old Testament?
Malachi.
Remember, it starts with the hymns. You got Matthew to the right, Malachi to the left. Okay, go over to Malachi and then just turn a little bit back to the left. You come to a book called Zechariah. Then you keep on going about 14 chapters to the left, clear on over there. And you come to a little tiny book called Haggai. Haggai's only two chapters. I'll be speaking from Haggai today. Haggai, you say, I didn't even know that book was in the Bible. So Haggai is in the Bible, and there it is, and it's a pretty short message today, but I'm going to challenge you. I needed this, and I had self-confession. I don't read the book of Haggai. I read it through in maybe an annual reading, but I've never really went back and studied it a lot. If you have, then good for you. I just have Putting God First is the title of the message today in Haggai. And in the book of Haggai, it was really establishing priorities. And so the book of Haggai is a book that setting first things first. And the prophet Haggai comes back and he tells some people some things. So let me at least tell you what's going to happen in this book. Let's read the first few verses and I'll show you. Haggai, a call to build the house of the Lord. Now, imagine, as we start reading this, I want you to at least put this in the back of your mind as a sort of like as a backdrop. These people have not been in church for a while. Can you identify that, Joe?
Somewhat.
These people have not been in church for a while. And they're getting ready to go back to church. The year is around 520 B.C. What's this year? 2020 A.D. So it's from 520 to 2020. I wonder if God does that on purpose. Yeah, we're going to get to heaven one day, and God will say, I've got so much. It would just blew your mind if I told you every little thing. So he just lets me see in sometimes, and that alone just sort of like amazes me. So in the second year of King Darius, verse 1 of chapter 1, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah. Joshua there, you might pronounce it different, but and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. It's not time for us to go back to church yet. Did we identify with that in these last few weeks? Every time we think, I'm going to go back to church. Not yet. And then we got to go through the different phases. And part of me is like, what phase is next? It's like, you know, you can't even, I don't know, Vicki, is the restaurant open now or is it not? Or is it?
50%.
Okay, so that's what, we've had all these things. At first, everything was, people were like, what do we do? And then we start hearing, it goes from confusion to a little bit of, maybe part-time, and then finally, okay, everything's closed, and then it was like opening back up, and then it was, 25%, and then it's 50%, and you say, okay, it sounds like it's coming out of it. Actually, there's more cases of COVID-19 in Roanoke right now than it was when it first started. Is that right, Joe?
I think so, yeah.
So it's like, to begin with, I mean, like there was one case in Southwest Virginia. How many Do you know West Virginia went about the whole month of March and April, never had anybody in the whole state? They had 34 people last week. So it's like, I don't know whether it's a resurgence or whether country people don't catch anything forever, then it finally makes, I mean, if anybody's sick in Virginia, where would you think it would be? It has to be Northern Virginia or Richmond. You know, it's like, I think it's finally made it this way. But now, you're right, 50%. If they do what they're saying in school this fall, which is going to be just amazing to me, my latest word from the governor tells our superintendent what to do. He tells the principals, principals tell us. Right now, here's the plan on Salem High School for the fall. The students, at least, now I'm here all the time. The students, they go to school one day a week. They're going to divide the student body at Salem into four different categories. Group A comes on Monday. Group B comes on Tuesday. We take Wednesday off to try to recover from those first 2 days. And then group three comes on. This is what you, group three comes on, yeah, Thursday, and group four, Friday. And then they deep clean and everything else. It means they use a rag. Anyway, deep clean, they go down the basement, sweep up. Anyway, the deep cleaning and Trish, what would you call it like at dinner time? You say we're slammed.
Yes.
I think we're going to be slammed in the fall because we're going to come to school once a week, 25%. Well, there's 36 weeks in the school year, and I need you for 36 periods to teach you driver's ed. That's a state mandate. So basically, it'll take me a year to get you through driver's ed going one day a week.
You know, Taylor said something about that yesterday when we were in North Carolina. She goes, man, I'm glad I was able to get my driver's ed out the way because you can't do it right now.
So we're sort of like trying to eat a petrified forest with a gopher that has no teeth right now. But I mean, because we're not making very much progress at all. And so one day, 25%, Mickey, and then they said after a while, if it's okay, then we'll jump to 50%. We become an AV skid. You come one day, off of it. These people right here in the Book of Haggai, they're a little bit confused. Do we go back to church or not? Well, the reason why they haven't been in church for a while was not because of COVID-19, but they had a few other viruses hit. They called the Babylonians, then the Assyrians, then the Persian. The Persians finally said, y'all go back to church if you want to. What do you feel in the last few weeks? I'm a little bit apprehensive. I don't know. They're anxious. These people are anxious. And do we go back or not? They finally decide to go back and keep reading. So these people, they're going to rebuild the house of God. The people get to go back to church. Sounds like we can identify with that. So the Jews, remember the northern kingdom was taken over. Now the southern kingdom does, and people are exiled out in the southern kingdom, and now the Persian kingdom allows the Jews to return home. So this ragtag group of people return to find some things like destroyed homes. When you go back after the virus, things are not quite going to be the same. We might have these people found their homes destroyed, the wall falling down. Of course, Nehemiah's going to take care of that later. The temple is destroyed. The house of God needs to be rebuilt. So with all that as a priority, keep reading with me. Verse 2, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but you have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber. To build a house that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Let me go back to the first few verses again. These people haven't been in church for a while. You see, I identified it. And it's around 520. Here's 2020. They finally decided to go back. You think people would come back and go shopping or go to church first? Jeff, what do you think?
Let's see. There was a line the first day of the month.
They'll go shopping. Next thing, we might go eating. Mm-hmm. And then we go anywhere. And then, I don't know if I want to go back to church yet, but you've been to Lowe's every day this week. and we got a social distance, but we go back here in Columbia. We got a group four times this big just in Columbia alone. They're not, we're reaching in front of each other without a mask and everything else. So in other words, where does God fit on the totem pole, is what I'm saying? Dead last. Well, these people hadn't been forever, and they finally get a clear from the governor to say, let's go back to our hometown. Let's go shopping when we get there. Let's go to Lowe's. And let's go to Dairy Queen. I think they got a special. Let's go to everything we can eat. We'll stay there. And then they finally, well, we got to rebuild some. You know what they rebuild? Their houses. Mm. And so they go up and get timber. The NIV says paneled houses. Really, it's a bad translation. They're probably paneled. I get the idea of paneling, you know, like you nail them. No, these are timber from Lebanon. These are cedar planks. This would be like the old thick stuff that they used to put on walls. Mm. So we've got, they finally decide to build something, and it's their own house. God hadn't made the agenda yet. You know, and does that sound a little bit like, I'm not going to go political and talk about our governor, and you know, he's, or your all's governor, I don't want to claim him. But anyway, he's, I saw a little cartoon one, and it was, it'd be funny if it wasn't so true, and they said at the right, you know, there's chains and a padlock on the church door, and the liquor store was open, because the ABC store is essential. To who?
Revenue.
So the liquor store is open, but the church is closed. Or a dad walks his daughter in South Carolina in the park, and they are both basically arrested and said, y'all can't do that. But we can get 100 people to ride and throw bricks. But nobody, you know, it's like the world is mixed up, I'm telling you. So we arrest you for going to church, but y'all go ahead and throw another brick. I mean, our... You can go here, but you can't go there. These people are so mixed up. It's been, they've been out of church so long, when they finally get a chance to go back, oh, I've got to get my priorities right. And they build themselves a house. And God steps in and he says, you guys are basically unfulfilled. You're unhappy. Let me give you a reason. Here comes those verses that he says. Give careful, verse 5, give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but guess what? You've harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not worn. Nothing satisfies. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. That's sort of like, hey, I got my money right here. Oh, no, these are the jeans that I had up a hole in my pocket. That means you don't have any money. Let's somewhere. Yeah. You've done everything, and you're not happy, and you wonder why. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up in the mountains and bring down timber and build a house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin. You've taken care of everything but me. You know. Picture Jesus, the guest of honor at a party. He's not been served yet, but we've already eaten. Three of us have fallen asleep, and two have left and went home. Five more have gotten in the styrofoam boxes and took it out the door, and Jesus is like,
oh my God.
I don't have anything. We're going to get to you, Jesus. Quit complaining. He's the guest of honor. He should have went first. God's telling him I should have went first. You haven't got to me yet. So therefore, God doesn't give him things that amount to much, because he's trying to, he's convicted. Yeah. And Giles can't even leave up. How's that going for you? It's like, how's that going? It's not going too well. So here's what he does. He just blows away what they start. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house, you got your own life. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withdrew their dew and the earth its crops. I call for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle and on the labor of your hands. In other words, I've sort of put an embargo on what you're doing. My plans aren't working out too well. And they're not. You put me first. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you. Now see, those first probably 12 verses or so, you think, man, God is tough. I don't know, have you ever been whipped by your daddy? Daddy, you're in town. Jesus saved me, but my daddy and my mom made me who I am too. I'm glad daddy quit. I wish he would quit 10 more. But anyway, I wish he would just, when daddy would pull the belt off, I deserved it. Daddy got my attention, and he uses discipline to teach me. God says, I'm going to use you. I'm just trying to do the best to bring you back. So you don't have much? I'm not going to let you have much. I'm not going to bless what you're doing because it's not for me. And the people are just like, God, we're trying this and trying that, but I'm not in it. Now, you say, oh, you're stepping on my toes. I'm going to step on my own toes. If I ever stand up here, I remember Jim Semple said this. And Jim Semple is the preacher of, he's a pastor at the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York. You've never ever heard of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Perhaps you've heard of the choir. Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, they won about 3 or 4 Emmys. And Carol, his wife, can't even read a note of music. You think God's in that church? Yeah. So Jim Semple said he got up one time and he was preaching. He said, I could just feel no power and I could, the Holy Spirit, he said, I could just picture the Holy Spirit over on the side of the stage going like this. You go ahead and go in your own power. Let's see how that goes. He said, I was so convicted that I just sort of like, in that quick prayer, a glance to say, if you don't do this, I'm not. He said, I felt fresh wind, fresh fire. Here comes the Holy Spirit back. So if you're doing something in your own strength and you're wondering, I just can't quite do this. These people, God, we planted crops and nothing grows and I've done this. And God says, it's not going to. You're not going to enjoy success. Yeah, you know that big flat screen TV and the 2 new cars and the new house? That money was mine, and I still don't have my house built. Well, I mean, we'll get to you. Where's God on our list? Well, obviously, God needs something to you. You wouldn't be here this morning. And I'm not going to fault anybody that's not here. I know we're still going through this. But I'm talking about on any. How about your day tomorrow? You start off with prayer. Where's God ranking you? You want to get up and drink coffee and do this and do that, and I finally, God, I'm going to get to you. I know we're almost done. How do you feel when people put you on top? How, when you walk into a barbershop or anything, I haven't been to a barbershop in a long time, so I don't know. Jenny's my barbershop. But anyway, how do you feel when somebody can, oh, you'll need to take a number? How do you like it? You ever been put on hold on line? You know? Thank you for calling Jesus. No one's here right now, but we'll get back to you. We're going to put you fourth in the queue. But instead, Jesus, yes, sir. Means you don't have to call me, sir. I need to call you, sir. You're something special to me. By the way, he does it all. Lord, yes. He's like hitting 911. They're finally going to get to priority chart right here. All right, God, we've been wandering around and doing everything. We don't even know what is it. In verse 13, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you. They probably wondered about that, and they finally got good news, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. Trish, what's a remnant?
Like a carpet or like a something.
So if this is not the whole carpet, if this is a remnant,
it's just
now
a piece.
This is a piece of the people. This is not full throttle? No, this would be like you got right now. It's not the entire church. It's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. This is the 18 people of life. Well, I've seen 16 as possible with the 18, but we're going to call us a remnant for life. You know, this is the remnant. So I guarantee you when God says, here's what we're going to do, what might they think if we're not careful? God, it's not enough. How many people does God need to do this with?
One.
Ask Nehemiah how that go. Nehemiah, wants you to rebuild a wall, yes, sir. Or how about Saul? He's formerly Saul of Tarsus. I need you to be the Apostle Paul. And God says, I've chosen, this is my chosen vessel for the Gentiles. One man's going to reach the Gentiles. How about this one? God says, I need one man. And Jesus says, I'll say. Jesus put his head and come down, changes this forever. One minute. So don't you dare say it's not enough of us. Because it'll never be enough if that's your attitude. And I've done that before. I've been in a few churches in my life. If you'll just teach Sunday school, that'll be fine somewhere.
Never funds.
What's that mean? They'll never fund.
You're elected.
18 years later, we're looking. If I ever lose my car keys, I don't want you to look, okay? I'm just going to do that right now. It's taken me 18 years to find. You don't plan to find anybody. That's not as long as you're going to do it. Yeah, it's like, you just hang in there. We'll get you some help. I coached JV football at Charleston one time, and I think there's nobody who even wants to coach. I'll change these kids' lives. These are guys that will lead me in one day, and I'll make a difference. That was my attitude. They said, we're going to get you some help. I never did any help. I was the only coach for the whole JV football team. You go into Salem, they got 28 people standing up there. I can't, is this a team or the coaching staff? I can't tell the difference. I mean, it's like, does everybody have an individual person that they coach? I mean, and I'm down at Charleston, there's three of us. Okay, you take the backs in the end. Then we got football? You know, it's like, and we're just throwing together something, but I tell you what, a few years later, they did, and 5 years after the last Charleston, my JVers, I had an eighth grade team, except for one guy. He was in the ninth grade, so I was basically playing a JV schedule with an eighth grade team. It was a little rough that year. But 5 years later, these guys are graduating from high school, and Ray Cox did an article, and I happened to see that, and somebody called, y'all looking to run up times today. And I was humbled by that. It blessed me. That brings tears, because I looked in there, and the varsity coach that year was Brett McPherson. They are now, instead of the Shawsville Shawnees, they're now the Eastmont Mustangs. And he said, my seniors are leaders, and they actually made the playoffs. And they said, guys, how did y'all make it? And it humbled me. And these about four or five seniors that were on my team who had made it through said, who we are really began about 5 years ago when a guy named Coach Moses demanded stuff of us. And we learned discipline, and we learned what it was like to run. And we learned how to stay in shape. So as good as we are today, it really began 5 years ago. Brett and Chris said, just thought you'd want to know that. You make a difference in someone's life, they will forget you. And that person who is a little boy, hears this, hears that, the little red-haired boy who was 10 years old who sat in a Sunday school class, and he later would say, I don't even remember the teacher's name, but he gave the gospel one day, and I responded, and I got saved. And that little red-headed 10-year-old red-headed boy grew up, and that's Max Licata. And Max says, I remember my Sunday school teacher gave me the gospel, and I responded, and I went home, and I told my dad, and my dad said, and he prayed with me to make it all clear, but he said, that Sunday school teacher made a difference. He said, I can't even remember his name. 40 years later and 40 books later, Max Licata is considered like the nation's pastor. Not that he's taken over in Billy Graham's place, but how would you like to be that Sunday school teacher that led Max Licata? So maybe you can go down the aisles of Kroger's or Walmart and we'll finally get a bit more and say, hey, come to church. And 5 years from now, they say, you know what, when you invited me, I hadn't been in church in a long time, especially with all this stuff going on, and I came back because of you. So what happened? Well, I can't leave you hanging unless I read the rest of the story. Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave his message to the Lord and the people. I am with you. Just remember that. I am with you. I love that. Declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord, Almighty their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month. In the second year of King Darius, about the 24th day of the sixth month. Today's the 21st day of the sixth month. In the Jewish calendar, it probably means something different anyway, but that just grabs my attention. Chapter 2. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the remnant of the people. Ask him, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Now, let me just tell you quickly what he was just now saying. If anybody ever said, have you ever said, I don't know if they have the phrase in your country, you ever heard of the good old days? What's that mean? How it used to be.
Yeah.
What if God just now said that? He says, anybody here remember, oh, I remember when that church was packed. We had 8 million people. you know, it was shiny and the parking lot was packed. It's not like it anymore. That's what God just now, he said, do you remember what it used to be? Oh yeah, we used to have it.
God says it's going to be better.
Why? What if he was said, Job caught him at a certain time and said, Job, how's life going? I used to have kids and a house and everything was great. Life's awful. Hang on. Hang on. Later, Job would have twice what he used to have. More kids, more wealth, more everything.
Then he's going to call back.
God, why? Have you ever done that? Joey's done that. I used to be in shape. Used to be. God says, you're still in shape. You can play basketball with those guys. For a good 4 or 5 minutes, you can go after it. And then, you know, like, then we got to get the fit machine out and jump clear. Join back. No, it's like, I do that. And my nephew, Gene, who's not here today, but he'd say, I sometimes think, well, I should have done that, or I could have done it. Gene says, yeah, should have, could have, would have. Now get up and just do it. You know, it's like, don't beat yourself up. Oh, well, it used to be this. These people are beating themselves up. He says, who's left that saw this house? It's falling. Oh, I remember we used to have, and they go down that, and God says, wait a minute. How's it look to you now? Not too good. He says, be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you. If this is a coach, this is halftime. Coach, we're down 13-0. If they score 32 points, we can score 32 points. But we're not. Yeah. My brother was on the state team 8 years ago. This is the state team if you'll just buy into what I'm telling. Okay. And God's getting them to buy into what he's telling me. I am with you. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. Takes them back. And my spirit remains among you. It's like, if only we could be back like this. I am like this. If only we could have that God. I am that God. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. He's sort of saying, you ain't seen nothing yet, says the Lord Almighty. And this is the place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Now, God spoke to me the other day, and I don't know whether I can. I'm thinking, Lord, is this what you're telling me? And he almost said, plant a church. Joe, what did I say about it? I planted a church. He said, plant it again. So replant LifePoint. LifePoint is a church plant. He says, plant with freshness. When we come out of here, it's like, wow. But we can only do that if y'all do a few things. One of them is pray. Pray for me. Pray for each other. Pray, say, God, do a work. I don't want you to raise your hand because I don't want you to be convicted. Because I'm the same way. Have you prayed a lot for the church in the last few weeks? He's like, I about almost forgot the church. Guess what these people did? They forgot the church. God's getting them to come back. And he says, you better start praying. God, why aren't you with us? It's almost like, Joe, how come I didn't get a come to your birthday party? You didn't send me an invitation. God says, you don't invite me. Let's invite God to come to us. Let's invite God to show up and do a work. And it's like a fresh church plant. It's LifePoint again. You know, don't y'all do that as a family every once in a while? You sit down and say, hey, we're going in 10 different directions. We got to stop this. Let's eat a meal together and do what we're supposed to. Quit traveling all over the place. Stop. Put people back. Let's do what we're supposed to. They call that renewal, rededication, revival. You call it what you want to, but it's like God says, time to come home. Blessings for a defiled people. On the 24th day of the 9th month in the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priest what the law says. If a person carries, and he's trying to drive home a point, so hang with me here. I'm almost there. I've covered both chapters. We've covered the book of Haggai today. But he says, he wants to make sure they understand what he's saying. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priest what the law says. If a person carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and that touches some bread or stew, some wine or oil, does it become consecrated? The priest says, no. It's like, switching around, then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with the deadly, with the dead body touches one of those things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priests say, it becomes defiled. And Haggai said, then so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, because Lord, whatever they do and whatever they offer is defiled. It's like you're doing it in your own strength. It's not going to become magically holy. God has got to do the work. We'll just work harder. It's like pushing a car. It doesn't have any tires on it. I mean, you know, it's like you just keep on pushing. It's not going to do any good. God says, I got to be in this. You can't make things holy just because you want them holy. No, you can't. I told somebody the other day, I heard Michael O'Brien play. Do you remember Michael O'Brien? Redheaded guy. I heard him at the Cove. And we came in. I love it. Holy Spirit, I love it. I'm 65. I still get ambushed sometimes. Ambushed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit behind me. And he's just going to jump on me. I mean, it's like, so I come in not expecting anything. I just set my books down. Michael O'Brien starts playing. And I look up and I'm like, and I can't sing. I can't get the words out. And I just go, let me just cry. People like, if they came up and says, what's wrong? The Holy Spirit's just like, and so I'm in another world, the Holy Spirit. Did anybody ever done that before in your life? Mm-hmm. Sitting there going, Holy Spirit, just take you over. And I went up and told Michael O'Brien later, I said, you can't fake the Holy Spirit. You can't say, I'm going to be spiritual. Can't do it. But if you're doing something and you read, oh, God Almighty, I just, what'd you do just now here in the room? I just rules like a breeze. God, you're in this place, aren't you? Don't you love that? God says, you can't fake it. But you can have it. How? You let me move in on it. And he moved in, and he's going to move in on these people. He said, you can't fake the Holy Spirit. So verse 15, now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before. One stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to work on a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hand with blight, mildew, and hay. I didn't bless it because I wasn't in it. So from this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought, every time he says it. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Now, this is good news. You probably feel like, I've been preaching next, but watch this. He says, you give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not bore fruit. From this day on, I'll bless you. What he just now said, from this day on, that barn's going to be full.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think these people thought? Really? You put me first, and you ain't seen nothing. Zerubbabel, the Lord's signet ring, last few verses. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, and I will shake the heavens of the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and the drivers' horses, and the riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. Like, don't worry about enemies. I'm going to take care of you. And on that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. So I hope I've encouraged you. God Almighty did that one time. He said, I'm going to take the signet ring, basically, if you did this, put the wax on the envelope and went like this, this is from God. Can I'm not stretching it, but I think it's not. Can I see other things in this? The signet ring, God Almighty, God, you wrote this letter. There's your signet. I see it. What if God says, I'm going to send my signet ring? Who's the signet ring he sent to us, by the way, back in that day?
Jesus
himself. Jesus goes down and he represents God, and what Jesus does, you're God, aren't you? The person that even killed him on the cross. It's like, surely this man was the Son of God. That's the signet ring. But just saying, if God would say, I'm going to let you be my city. What if somebody came in here and said, God's in this place, isn't he? How do y'all do that? Oh, we don't do that. Don't you dare think it's us. It's the Holy Spirit. But wouldn't it be cool? There is something in you. Can't fake it. Can't hide it. Jesus here. So let's be that signet ring. I take that as us, that we can be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you allow us to even be a part of your work. You can choose angels to come do what we do. Then again, an angel, I might have never watched creation happen. The angels got to see that. But the angels, they don't know what it's like ever. Sins forgiven and be saved, and I do. So, Lord, if there's anyone here that is not sure of that, if they never said, Lord, forgive me of all my sins, come into my heart and save my soul, Lord, we can do that today. We can say, Jesus, would you forgive me? I know you love me. I just want to love you back. Would you forgive me and cleanse me? Wash me clean, I accept you as my Savior. Lord, you've promised whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise. Now, Lord, you save us and you begin a new work. Lord, I know I feel out of place. I feel almost not in sync, out of a routine. This is odd today. Lord, you gave me this book, so I wanted to pass it on to my church family and my friends here to say, you're not through with us yet. We might be a little rusty, and we're going to get back into the, yes, the routine. Lord, may it never be a routine. May it be fresh from walking the door. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to just cover us up. You send a fresh wave, fresh fire in us. Lord, if we've been doing things at Life Point in our own strength or just going through the motions, may you stop that today. May you make it fresh, like bread coming out of an oven, that we can just smell and know that it's something fresh about this. And we're not going to rely on our own strength. If you don't do a work, it won't get done. Lord, if you will be the one leading the work, we'll just fall in behind you. And Lord, much can be accomplished. Because little is much when you're in. So Lord, forgive us. Trying to do things in our own strength. Thanks for the story of Haggai, which began in around 520, and here we are in 2020, experiencing some of the same things. Could it be that you just use this virus and will use it for a revival? I pray so. And I pray that we'll come back not defeated and discouraged and bewildered, confused, but we'll come back stronger than ever, and we are more assured that we're yours, and we'll pray more and read more and depend more on you than we ever have. So Lord, help us just to be driven to you. I thank you, Jesus, that you are here with us today. Speak to our hearts as only you can. In Jesus' name.